from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Put him in the hall. Put him in the hall of fame. Parkinson Spiegel to the rack. Count it in a foul.
We're going to crank it up nonstop.
The Chicago Bulls, their pick is in.
With the 11th pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Matis Buzelis from Chicago and the NBA's G League team Ignite.
We're really happy to see him there. Can't you tell? I'm very happy.
Excited.
Good.
Matis Buzelis is a Bull. And someone texted in earlier, Parkins, have we gotten your take on Buzelis yet? And like, not really. Just with us being off the day after the draft. It's fine. High upside player, young, a developmental project. I thought his reaction after the draft was adorable. You know what I mean? Incredibly endearing. Looked like he'll be an easy guy to root for. You know, if he hits, if he develops offensively, 6'10 is that plays, obviously. This is not probably not fair, but I do wonder about like proximity bias. Like, sure. Did the Lithuanian president of basketball operations draft a Lithuanian kid who's from Chicago because of those things? Like, we celebrate, you know, like local guys being on the Bears. And I'm like, if instead of being Lithuanian, he was French, and instead of being from Chicago and Hinsdale Central, he was from Atlanta, like, would he be a Bull? I'd like to hope that he would be.
I don't know that he was their first choice, though. You know, so like, while they obviously liked Matis Buzelis, and I think he did reveal that he did work out for the Bulls, I don't know if that was their guy. I mean, I didn't see him in too many mock drafts going to the Bulls at 11. So he may not have been too, if you're talking about the idea that Arturas would just go get somebody with the Lithuanian heritage and local kid, I don't know that was the guy that he wanted in the first place.
But I don't know that I trust mock drafts, and I'm not saying that they would have taken him number one overall, and they didn't trade up to get him, which is good. But And again, I am saying on the front end, I don't know if that's fair.
Right.
But there's I'm like, of everybody in the world who played in any spot in the world, they draft the Lithuanian kid from Chicago.
There is a certain convenience to it.
I hope it isn't because of those types of factors.
Yeah, but really, who cares? I mean, like, in terms of, I don't know that there was another player that was on the board then, or that, I don't know that you looked at, you and I haven't talked much about the prospects that existed.
No.
I don't think, okay, that's fine. Like, there, except for the first two guys in the draft, like, you know, three or four like definite dudes that you think might change your team, this whole thing was a crapshoot to begin with and still is, and there's so much mystery about what Buzelis is going to do when he gets to the Bulls this year anyway.
And the other thing that is interesting is that obviously you're drafting a player who's going to be young, but he's particularly young, and there's going to be rough moments, and we'll see what happens because they're clearly not done. And the back and forths and the interactions that you guys all had with Arturas after the draft were pretty telling. Like, I heard Lawrence say, you know, he's going to do this through his actions and not his words. For now, Arturas is accessible after moves happen or don't happen. We might not like what he says. He's not giving a ton of interviews, but I do think that what will happen here is the DeMar decision will come and go, and a Zach trade will happen or not happen, and then he'll speak. And because what he said about DeMar DeRozan after the fact. To me, more so than the pick of Buzelis, like the highlight of the night was what Arturis Karnišovas said about the Bulls' best player.
Arturis, you've said publicly many times you hope to re-sign DeMar DeRozan. There's been quite a bit of speculation about his future. Obviously, he can be make his own choice starting Sunday. Mm-hmm. Are you still confident in re-signing him, and is that something the organization still wants to do?
As I said also before, we're going to look at everything. You know, everything is on the table, and, you know, it's still an option.
Okay. Real quick following up. You said also you wouldn't answer a kind of overall philosophy of direction, but you'll talk to us after free agency. If memory serves, you don't talk after free agency. Next time you talk,
well, I'm going to see you hopefully in summer league, and we can, you know, chat. You know, I'll tell you all about it. So
I don't know about that. I'm going to hold
you
to that.
Okay. There you go. So I think yeah, it's important time. You know we still have to, you know, tomorrow, second day of the draft, and then free agency starts, and you know, like I said, you know, week and 2 weeks away from now, we're going to be able to comment on that.
So that is not a commitment to we want to retain DeMar DeRozan.
Not at all.
Which has been his public stance every single time that he'd been asked about DeMar DeRozan before, including reports that he had a 2-year, $80 million contract offer in front of him that hadn't been signed. And so what I said to Spiegel before the draft was, if DeMar's on this team, they have a fairly high floor because NBA games end up close in the fourth quarter and he's an excellent closer and fourth quarter player. Like, he's going to win you some close games late. And he gives you an air of professionalism and
absolutely
all of that stuff, right? You remove DeMar DeRozan, you got real questions about who's going to close games, and all of a sudden you are crazy young, and when you're young, immaturity, sloppiness, all of those things come into play. So, man, if DeMar DeRozan's not on this team next year, and they're playing 21-year-old Josh Giddey and 19-year-old Matheus Bezelis, and they trade Zach LaVine for 25 cents on the dollar, they're going to be real bad.
Well, yeah.
Real bad.
And here's the thing. There's no way at age 34, DeMar DeRozan, going on 35, there's no way that he wants any part of what the Bulls are doing right now. This upcoming year is going to be a bad one for the Bulls. They are not going to be good enough to be in the play-in tournament. It is not going to be good because they will trade Zach LaVine because they have to. And now you've got these other two players. And again, I have no idea how they're going to use Matheus Bezelis, how much playing time he'll actually get. But you do have him as a project. You've got Josh Giddey. Quite frankly, that's a project too. There is as good of a teammate and desirous of being a mentor at times as we've seen DeRozan be, like with Ayo Dosunmu. Ain't no way at this point in his career that he's going to want to be a part of something that he has to be the guy. He doesn't, like, that's not something at this point he wants. Like, he wants to be a guy,
right.
But he doesn't want the pressure of that. He would prefer that Zach LaVine was there, and that we'd all prefer that Lonzo Ball is there. But there just isn't enough other than that. You know, Kobe White starting to blossom. Why would he want to be here? So my guess is they had a honest conversation with him and said, here's a direction we might go. And I would imagine DeRozan saying something like, if that's the direction you're going to go, I'm going to look elsewhere. Why wouldn't he?
Well,
he doesn't like Chicago that much.
Well, no, I guess you're right. I certainly wouldn't, because DeMar is still a good enough player that if he goes to the Clippers and Kawhi is healthy and you know that they can win 50 games.
It's all about winning now.
It should be. You would think. It's just that is a pretty drastic change from what DeMar had been saying, what the Bulls had been saying. And good, be a bottom 10 team. Keep your pick. Don't let it go to the Spurs. Good draft in 2025. Get younger. That is at least a plan. It is, though, it's selling low on assets, man.
As in should have gotten draft picks back.
I am still on that. And like I talked about this for a long time with it happened with Vooch. Losing assets for nothing is just bad business. So if DeMar just opts out and leaves, and you get nothing.
Sign and trade, I guess. But, but you're right. It's a good point.
Sign and trade. But then DeMar is weakening the team that he goes to. Yeah. So he'd be doing the Bulls a favor, and he would be wanting to, he'd be dictating the team that he gets traded to, yeah, because he could just opt out and sign with them. And so you're gonna get very little, and it would almost be an act of charity if it happens. So I would applaud the direction that they would be going. It would be an admission that this whole thing didn't work, but it's not a good thing. It's not a sign that they're well run. It's just, you would be losing your best player for nothing.
Yeah.
Other than the cap space, but then you would not want to use the cap space on a competitive player because you're not trying to win. And so what good is the cap space? You know, it's just, it's not a tenable formula to ever build a successful team. You want to cash in your assets for something.
And he went out on a limb in his explanation for getting Josh Giddey, essentially player for player, Alex Caruso, to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey, and not going after those other, you know, potential draft picks that Oklahoma State has. He basically said that was the worth, that this guy, Josh Giddey, he is projecting to be that good. So he is rolling the, like, he's taking a stance. There's no doubt about it to me. He is putting his money on Josh Giddey being a very good player. At least those are the words that came out of his mouth in terms of, like, we didn't need the extra picks because he was worth Alex Caruso. So he's definitely putting, you know, rolling the dice.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, so enough about the real analysis of the state of the Bulls. We'll find out, you know, we'll find out more in the coming days and weeks as free agency opens and some moves happen here. But you hosted from the Advocate Center.
Yes.
With Chuck Swirsky.
Indeed, yeah.
Chuck. Legend, one of the first sports talk hosts in the history of this city.
Voice of the Bulls.
Voice of the Bulls. And it was interesting. He was emotional.
Yes.
Is that a fair character?
He was very emotional at times over certain people.
All right. Well, so we'll start here. I haven't heard any of this.
Okay.
We're going to start with Chuck's analysis and reaction to the Zach Edey selection.
Mark, I think I'm pulling a Fred Sanford. Man. Sanford, I think I'm getting the big one.
I'm coming, Mama. Oh, I thought I flushed the toilet.
Oh, my gosh. Go ahead. Announce it. Go ahead.
According to Shams Charania, Memphis is picking Zach Edey at number 9, sources say.
I'll tell you what. Sanford and son Fred Sanford, I'm having the big one. Unbelievable.
I'm coming, Mama.
Oh my gosh! Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I think it would have been a fantastic get for the Bulls. I'm not even sure he was on their radar, but Memphis needed a big, and they probably tried to move up to get Klingon, and they couldn't just put the right package together. But Zach Edey, to me, he's gonna, in time, he's not there yet, but in time, he's going to be a really good player.
So are you going to be extra angry at Memphis when you broadcast the Bulls-Grizzlies games this year?
My son is with the Grizzlies
organization. Oh, so you have to be kind
and nice. He worked
out
all these players, but he wouldn't tell me, and nor should he.
Oh, you're so, Joe Bag of Donuts again
I'm
over
Joe
here.
Bag of, no, I'm not going to cross that line, whoever they work out. I mean, we have this deal. We never talk hoops, which is hard.
Really?
But I respect that.
Wow.
Look at that.
You loved Edey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he made a prediction to us. It just sort of clicked. No mention of it, I don't think,
before the show started. We were talking hoops and players and prospects. I don't remember. Somewhere along the way, early in the show, like a light went on, and he just said, that's it. That's it. It's got to be Zach Edey. That was going to be his guy at number 11, and you just heard the emotions pouring out.
Mark, I think I'm pulling a Fred Sanford. Sanford, I think I'm getting the big one.
I'm coming, mama. And Peter Hansen, our intern, was there to witness all of this as well. I feel like in the pantheon of learning, I think he learned a lot that night.
Yeah?
Yes. Oh, everything. Everything that was good. Technically, Ryan Porth doing heroic things, getting us hooked up to the press conference, and just some of the content that Chuck and I were providing on this night.
Well, you're 30 minutes away from singing. Was it a learning experience, Peter?
Oh, yeah. It was incredible. Seeing Chuck react in real time.
Oh,
to the Grizzlies react to Zach Edey.
We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming.
Okay, and then I heard you used a term on the air maybe that Chuck did not like so much.
Yeah, yes.
As we sit here, Chuck, I should give a little bit of what we are seeing right now. It's a relatively small amount of media here right now, but they will start to trickle in, and some of them are probably outside getting a snack right now, but they will begin to trickle in as we get closer to the draft, which actually takes place starting at 7 o'clock. We have been told, too, that the rooms just to the right of where we are sitting under one of the baskets, that is actually the Bulls war room, where the powers that be, like Arturs Karnišovas and Mark Eversley and Billy Donovan, will be working, so we are right there for that.
This is just my opinion, not the Bulls. I'm not in the upstairs room.
Okay.
I don't like calling it the war room, by the way.
Well, okay, you don't like the war room? You don't like intern? I mean, you're really laying some words out here, man.
I think it's a disservice to the climate. And I'm not trying to be politically correct, but I just don't like the quotation, the war room.
Yeah, no, I understand. These are sensitive times.
Yeah, yes. But I mean, we got people deciding on basketball players.
I know,
it's not a war room.
But we always do that with sports. It's like the football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
I mean, what? So we got a testosterone level and a macho thing?
I think it is something like that. Yeah, it's just all taking off of the armed services. So I don't know what we could, if you would like Chuck,
hey,
we could come up with
Douglas
another name.
MacArthur
for it.
Ain't walking through the door. Okay. Just
that's
saying.
True. I mean, no, it's true.
Schwarzkopf, with the Iraqi war back in the day.
Right, General Schwarzkopf.
You know, Desert Storm.
He is not walking
through
the door.
Well, I'd like that point guard from what? No.
Who's the guy? Franks or some Bubba Franks? No, that was the Green Bay Packers.
What?
There was a general named Franks, though, I think.
Tommy.
Herman Franks was a Cubs manager.
He was the Cubs manager.
Yeah, I don't think I know for a fact that
this
Herman Franks.
This is really off the rails in the first 10 minutes.
Herman Franks is not walking through
the
door.
Of the first 10 minutes of the broadcast, you said the words Bubba Franks.
Yeah, just on
the NBA draft show, you said Bubba Franks.
Yeah, you know, it was Tommy Franks was the name I was trying to come up with, and I couldn't quite get there. But yeah, Bubba Franks was the next name to come out of my mouth. And Douglas MacArthur.
That's got to be a million to one. If it's 6 o'clock, I would have said to the audience, what are the odds that Bubba Franks' name is said in the next 10 minutes of this NBA draft show?
Or even more so, Herman Franks, who was the manager for the Chicago Cubs before Jim Fry, which is like late 70s, early 80s. I don't even know if he was in the 70s. I barely remember the guy. I remember him enough to reference him, though. Big, angry guy.
Oh my God! Is that incredible?
That was, and that's what was going on, man.
I don't like calling it the war room. By the way,
well, okay, you don't like the war room. You don't
I
like
don't.
Intern. I mean, you're really laying words out here, man.
I think it's a disservice to the climate.
You know, I got caught up in the woke BS.
Yeah, it's tough out there.
I never got to the intern. He doesn't like the word. What's a better word for intern? Internship. I feel like that's fine. I think that's a good word.
Well, Mark, good to see you. Good to see Ryan. Good to see our intern, although I don't like that word, the terminology. I'll just say that Peter Hansen.
He's our free assistant. How about that?
He is our assistant today, okay. And I'm loving it. From the University of Illinois, Terrence Shannon to the rack. Count it. And a foul. Well, I mean, you know, when I first met Peter,
yes.
I said, Peter, let me ask you a question. I mean, you follow the Illini. You're involved with the broadcast on Big Ten Plus, all that good stuff. I said, does Terrence Shannon have a right hand? You know, like, does he shake everyone's hand with his left because he's a natural left hand? But
you know, let's talk about some of what the Bulls might do at number 11. He's the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky.
Oh, I'm Mark Brody.
We also have our program director, Ryan Porth, out here. Peter Hansen is in the house, the Illini guy, our intern, unless you came up with a better word to use instead of intern, since that Chuck is anti the word intern.
Yes. But, and don't forget Alex Kuhn.
That was a big theme. He's very protective of Alex Kuhn. I don't know if it's just, and you should, like, Alex Kuhn is excellent at his job. So I don't know if it's like Chuck is very protective of Alex Kuhn. Somehow we found that out on this night because that wasn't the first time he brought up Alex Kuhn.
Did we get to why we don't like the word intern? I get war terminology in sports. It's not that significant.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't get upset about it or call out my co-host six minutes into a broadcast.
We can admit it's dumb that we do it, but we're not going to stop doing it. Like, it is dumb to call it the war room.
Yeah,
it is.
But, the war – and I find it a little bit more ridiculous when players are like, you know, these are my guys that I go to war with. It's like,
not really.
You don't go to war.
But we all let it go because we understand that it is ultimately innocuous and everybody knows they're not going to war.
And people are not trying to be offensive or whatever.
Exactly.
But what was the intern issue? I don't know.
Like, that's what I was saying.
I can't really see the issue there.
I don't understand. Well, what are you thinking?
There's got to be.
Was this presented to you as an internship from Odyssey?
Yeah.
It's an intern. They use the terminology internship. Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's still a good word. So I think Chuck was out of... Chuck, I'm sorry. You were out of line with that one.
I mean, I know some people don't like the idea of free labor, which is a good thing.
Maybe it's not the word. It was the concept.
Yeah, it's a paid internship around here, though.
Yeah, it's a paid internship. So conceptually...
Yeah, it is.
Peter Ponderings.
Oh, boy.
Am I going straight to the office here after this
segment?
Yeah, there's no way.
Hey, we pay these people.
No, that's what I'm saying. I really don't get the argument against paid internships. I can't imagine that there is one.
Right, especially when somebody like... me, and I wonder you too. I didn't get paid for my internship.
No, college credit.
Yeah.
Just get college credit.
Which was good enough.
A big farce that was. But no, it was great. I was happy to get the experience. But all right.
Wow.
Man, it sounds like a minefield hosting with the voice of the Bulls there. You never know what word he's going to
No, it's great. Like I said, off-season Chuck is the best. I mean, it really, like, he was itching to. I'm trying to get him on a show that I'm co-hosting with Alyssa Bergamini on Monday. We're like talking about who, I said, let's get Chuck on. We'll talk Bulls and we'll just spray to all fields with him. So, Chuck,
you
if you're listening, this isn't a desperate attempt to get Chuck on the
radio.
I got
his number if you need it.
Yeah, I think he's available. But he's doing, like, some summer league NBA play-by-play stuff, so he's actually pretty busy. So
you should be able to get him.
Bears. Yeah.
All right, Peter sings in 20 minutes,
but
this might come as a shock to you. The Cubs have another injury. And we'll give you the news on the other side. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.